Welcome to our brand new episode of the Internet's Most Hated Mafia-Themed Geek Podcast, the Lone Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. And as you can hear, the noisy heater has returned. It's been a few years since we had a noisy heater kind of go off in the background to heat our little area. But the reason why we kind of have it as well, our main heater, our quiet heater, has kind of went belly up, and until we could get a replacement part and fix it, and amongst a few other things, it's the return of the noisy heater. But that's beside the point. But to go back on it just a sled, please forgive us while we keep ourselves warm for the moment. But again, that's beside the point. This week, we continue our interview series that we kind of started last week with Timothy McLaughlin. This week, we have comedian Matt Gwynn on the show. He's going to talk about being a comedian, adventures from the road, his podcast, The Albino Rhino, which can be found, I think, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and where podcasts can be found. Links to his show will be in the show description. Also, please note, this was recorded via Skype, so the standard disclaimers are in effect, and those for those listening to the show for the first time, those disclaimers are, since this is a Skype call, Skype tends to have this weird habit of either giving clicks on our show somehow, or that's usually the kind of software that we kind of use to bridge the gap between Audacity and Skype. But that didn't happen this episode. But it being Skype, Skype tends to drop calls very, very frequently. So you'll hear me tell Matt, you know, ask Matt, you know, can you please repeat that or what have you? That's because, well, Skype decided to drop the call. But that's beside the point. Again, with Skype calls, if the pause was too long, I shortened it. That's the only editing I've done with that's the only editing I have done with the Skype call. Everything else remains intact. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to step away from this and let you hear the interview, the discussion with Matt right now. So see you guys and gals and other listeners on the other side. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that brief little introduction. I have with me this week Matthew, or do you prefer Matt?
Matt's fine.
Matt Gwynn. I hope I am pronouncing the last name correctly. So, and folks, what was that?
I said, yeah, you're good, man. All right. Don't worry, I butcher names all the time.
I have a friend that who is a wise ass in and upon himself. And he said, when people ask to pronounce his name, he says, it's Bob. Just to throw people off, it's like, how do you spell your name? B-O-B. So, it's fun to watch people actually start writing Bob on something. So, either way, folks, Matt is a, from what we were told, so I hope it's correct, I'm not knocking Matt in any way, shape, or form, that Matt is a comedian and has been a part of very several things in the past, but he's mostly been a comedian, and he hosts the podcast as well called The Albino Rhino. But to get further details, I'll let Matt introduce himself a little bit to everyone.
Awesome, man. Thanks. So Yeah, that the introduction phone call was, I was dying of laughter. Steve's a jokester. Steve is a jokester. I am a comedian, though. That was correct. Jesus. He's a fun guy sometimes, huh? No. I'm a comedian, man. I host the Albino Adventures of the Albino Rhino. We put out 3 episodes a week. Obviously, with the coronavirus, I'm not performing as much as normal, but you know, you can find me just about every Friday in Columbus, Ohio, with the Shrunken Head from about 6 to 10 p.m. We do a free comedy show for people. It's usually between 20 and 30 comedians who show up. Of course, you got to bring a mask. But yeah, it's just something we're doing, you know, to try and give people a little bit of a break, because we're not totally locked down, which I guess is nice. But
it's not. I don't think it's just that. I think it's been 2020 was a rough year for a lot of people, and not to get into a lot of current events, and it's like 2021 is kind of being coming in like a lion, so to speak, to put things politely, for a lot of folks. So it's, we kind of need a laugh right now. We need a kind of that humor, something to at least, I won't say distract us, but kind of lift our spirits to say, yeah, all this crap is going down. Well, we need a laugh. We need some form of entertainment. We've been locked down too long.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you need entertainment, man, you just look at the government right now. It's shit. Sorry. My wife got mad at me, but I was like, this is funny. This is super funny. Like, does anybody... What? I was hoping they would start shooting, man. Like, 4 people? That's it? Come on, man. I guess that's the one time law enforcement has, like, a genuine opportunity to, like, unload all the rage and anger that they have built up inside on people. And they just let them go buck-ass wild. You're like, what the fuck? You shoot all these other people who didn't need to get shot, and you got all these people who are, like, literally attacking the government, and you're just letting them? Because, what? I don't fucking know. That shit was ridiculous. But I thought it was fucking hilarious. They're already starting to lose their jobs, which I think is funny.
Yeah, some of the folks, you know, it's like, yeah, so I'm a cord cutter, so for me, everything is, I get things secondhand through other sources. So for me, saying it's like, yeah, they got arrested, but how big is that? That's all. Kind of a joke in upon itself in a way. And granted, I'm not you, I'm not a professional comedian, though I am an asshole, but I'd be the person in jail. It's like, yeah, I got arrested, but I got to sit in the Speaker of the House seat for about 5 minutes, you know? That's got to be some bragging rights somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It depends on what they charge you with, because a lot of those people can be charged with treason. You know, that's a lofty charge. Right. You know? So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, the only dude I thought who really did anything cool was the guy who stole Nancy's podium. That was pretty great.
He stole Nancy's podium?
I think it was Nancy's podium. I don't know. Yeah, there was a dude. There was like one of the early pictures I saw. Was this guy walking around with this big-ass podium, you know, with, like, it had the seal of the house on it, I think. I didn't pay much attention to it. That's gangster. That's fucking hilarious. Like, I went to the Capitol and all I got was a podium, you know?
Or, I'm going to go with the whole aspect of, no one's going to believe me that I did this, so... Yoink!
Oh yeah! Oh, people gonna believe it because his picture was all up. He's been memed, I don't know, like 30 times now.
And that dude dressed like a Viking or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's good, though, man. I mean, you know, give yourself a nice, interesting disguise. That way you can still make the newspapers, but nobody really knows who the fuck you are. Although, they haven't figured out who he was. They're going to fuck. All these fucking people are going to get charged with something. And, you know, whatever. It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. But my favorite people in the whole situation are like, oh my God, what does the rest of the world think about us? Well, they think we're idiots. Right. They thought that before. This isn't really going to change how they feel. They're still going to think we're stupid. Whatever.
Personally, I as much as I could go down that route, you know, there's a lot of things I could go into and talk to. There are probably points we could agree with and disagree with in regards to what the rest of the world thinks of us, but I will agree that they think that we're idiots and morons as it is, but that's just me. But back to you. You, as stated, you are a comedian. For the folks at home, what does it take to be a comedian other than just standing up stage and telling jokes? Obviously, there's more to it. I might know from listening to ID10T, you know, like Nerdist and other comedians talk about their career, but my listeners might not listen to someone like ID Nerdist or ID10T. So if you please, could you tell the folks at home that might be listening what it takes to be a comedian or so forth and so on?
I mean, it starts with your effort. That's kind of anything, I guess, that you want to do. You have to put in work and be willing to do that work for free, which is very important because nobody makes any fucking money at this shit. You do eventually, but it's not like it's. It's something that you have to really want to do it. I mean, it's not so much a lot of effort, you know, like physical effort. It's more, not blowing your brains out after you spend, 4 hours hosting a music show and it was awful. And you know what I'm saying? Like, right. There's just that's where the effort comes in because you got to be willing to get back on the horse. Other than that, you just really you have to write and try and spend time working on what you've written and you know make sure that what you're saying is something that you're going to be able to stand behind and you're willing. You know what I mean? It's just. That you have to decide what kind of comedian you want to be because there's, you know, comics who are completely clean. There are comics who will say anything, you know, that did.
The main reason I ask is because I think it stems from a lot of the, if I may, the aspect of anybody could go up on the stage and tell a funny story. Personally, I think there's more than that. There's the aspect of timing. How it's more of a presentation other than two dudes walking to a bar, you know, and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, of course. I mean, when you're writing, just because you write down something that you think is funny, doesn't necessarily. A lot of the process that people don't understand, unless you listen to Joe Rogan because he talks about it like every 5 minutes, is constantly telling the same jokes to a lot of different people and refining those jokes to a point to where they're nice and tight and you can say them to any group of people and they're going to laugh relatively.
Right.
That's just kind of a large part of the process that most people aren't aware of. Cause you start out, you know, telling a joke and you might get a laugh. You might not get any. You know, you might kill that joke initially. It depends.
I think one person said what might work in the outskirts of like Chicago or Philadelphia might not work in Idaho or Wyoming because of how the audience is. Yet, it's weird, and to me, comedians are, I wouldn't say a weird bunch, but the performance.
We're weird. It's fun. We're weird.
The performance of comedy is weird. It's strange, and there's a science behind it, and not many people get it in a way, or get the presentation.
For some comics, yes. For some comics, no. I think honestly, the most important part of comedy is that in order to be a good comic, you have to be willing to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can do a character. You can, accentuate certain aspects of your own character on stage. I mean, there is acting and stuff that goes into it. And shit, most of the same shit comics say on stage are fucking bold-faced lies anyway. It's just shit they made up that was funny. Who knows? You know what I mean? You never really know, and that's part of what makes it fun. But the important part is that you're genuine and you're not, a lot of the people that I respect, they don't want to appeal to everybody. Like they don't come across as that initially, because that's just not who they are. You know, they accept the fact that there's going to be people who just don't like what they do.
Right. I've kind of going to what I was talking about earlier. It's like there is that science. You're right. Not many people can get into everybody. Not everybody can get into Stephen Wright. Not everybody can get into a comedian that goes dark, like how the late Bill Hicks was, or someone cannot be on the same speed as a fan of comedy, cannot be on the same speed as someone like the late Robin Williams, because granted, I'm talking about a variety of different styles, but it's a different way. And you're right, there is a different style for each person that's fans for them. And there is, like, I tend to bring this up, like, my ex didn't understand the aspect of the setup punchline, and the setup and punchline could be a setup for a joke later on. And that's what can make the second joke even funnier, especially the punchline for that second joke. And I just got to look like, huh? Yeah, it happens, and if it's done right, it could hit you in the face, and you could be laughing your ass off.
Well, yeah, that's the goal. Ultimately, that's why we do it. We don't want people to cry. Well, maybe sometimes, but that's usually their fault. They started. Yeah, I mean, no one hopefully goes to a comedy show and thinks. I mean, there are places that you can go where you're guaranteed probably not to get offended. I mean, like, you know, Dry Bar Comedy is 100% clean. For me, those are places I'll never do.
I'm sorry, you kind of went out for a second.
I'm not a fucking clean comic. Oh, I'm sorry.
When you're talking about dry comedy and all that, Skype seemed to kind of pause for a moment. Then you came back.
Yeah, so. it does that. No, what I was saying is there's, you know, places like Dry Bar Comedy. There's a place called Gutty's Comedy Club in Indianapolis, for example. Also, you know, just to name two. Both of those places are completely clean. Right? I'll never work them because I'm not a clean comic. But you know, it's there for the people who want it. So, right.
That's one of the things.
The biggest advice I could ever give anybody whenever it comes to comedy isn't for a comedian. It's really for the people who listen to comedy or watch comedy or whatever. Like, if you're easily offended, don't go to a comedy club. Just don't do it. It's not going to be worth your money, because you're going to spend, you know, two drink minimum per person Plus the tickets. To get offended? Come on.
Just don't waste your money. You're in the front row.
Ah, yeah. We love those people. And we ride you the whole fucking show. We'll just
Skype was being Skype.
Until... Huh?
I said Skype was... As soon as you started started the story, Skype decided, we're not going to let Matt tell this story.
Fucking Microsoft, man. It's because I won't get Bill's microchip. You know, I refuse. I'm not going to do it. I'm an Apple guy. I mean, now if Tim offered me a microchip, I would probably get it because then, you know, I wouldn't even have to use Face ID. I would just pick up my phone and it would unlock. That would be kind of fucking creepy. But anyway, no, what I was saying was like, you know, the people who are like that, who go to comedy clubs and they get offended, like, we love you. So, I mean, really, if you want to show up, that's fine. You're just giving us more material. And that's cool. Right. We'll take it. We will fucking ride the back of your head for an hour and a half while you sit there angry, drinking, eating your overpriced chicken wings. Like, we got you. You know, we will ruin your night. So, you know, that's the biggest thing for comedy is know what the fuck you're getting yourself into.
Right. I've told people if by chance, for some strange fluke, I got invited to a comedy show, realizing that I'm sitting one in the front row and it was, I'm going to pull somebody at random, Cat Williams, and he roasted my ass for 20 minutes. You know what? I'm going to be there taking it, probably laughing my ass off the whole time. And if friends said, you know what, there's a YouTube video of Cat Williams roasted your ass for 20 minutes, I'm going to say, yeah, it was Cat Williams, and just walk away, not care.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the fun.
Right.
And if you're not willing to participate in that fun, you probably shouldn't go. So, you know, whatever. But hey, man, they got a right to spend their money how they want to. So.
Right. But one of the things I've noticed is that for those who do dry comedy, the clean comedy, the dry comedy, there's a market for that. But it seems like a lot of the folks that started out dirty in a way or used a lot of vulgarity then switched to clean comedy, dry comedy, and it's like they lost a lot of fans when they did so. And that just like amazes me. It's like, why, you know, they might have done it for, you know, personal reasons, you know, for the kids, they just got sick and tired of doing it, and all of a sudden, oh, we don't like him or her no more because of they went clean. Really? That's their choice. It's just weird.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you have that right as a person in the audience. If you don't like what we're doing anymore, then don't fucking pay us. That's kind of the way we look at it, you know? A lot of the guys, from what I've heard from listening to other comics talk about this kind of thing, like a lot of people who do make the switch from blue comedy to clean comedy, they do it because honestly it's harder and they want the challenge. It has nothing to do with they're still not into that kind of comedy. They want the challenge. It's hard. But you know, for speaking from my own personal experience, I can't not cuss. It's just I don't have a filter. I refuse to put one on my mouth. So I've lived, you know, almost 40 years like that. So if I started filtering my speech now, I could sit down and write out a whole hour, right? Without any cuss words in it. I could memorize the whole fucking thing word for word. I guarantee you the second I get behind a microphone and I'm on stage, I'm cussing. This is going to happen. I can't help it. I don't know. And I refuse to fight it. I'm just not going to do it.
Is the out of curiosity, is the length of writing time?
A large portion.
Length of writing time hard as well, meaning writing for an hour versus writing for 15-20 minutes? Or
well, no, because when you put, you know, no one sits down and just writes out an hour. It's, you know, you take jokes and string them together and form an hour on stage. I was just throwing out, you know, whatever, just a time, you know.
Right.
A time amount, I guess. But I mean, even for me, 5 minutes of clean. I think I've managed to go clean one time for 30 minutes. And it was actually for a podcast summit thing that I did. So, I mean, technically it was stand up, but I guess it wasn't. I don't know. But at the very end of it, I said fuck just so I could, and it was there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and that was really like a huge inside joke between me and a bunch of other people, because I told the woman who put this thing on, and she's a monster whenever it comes to this. It was crazy. Her first one, she did like a 4-day podcast summit, and it was rocking. I'm super impressed with what she did. But I was like, look, I can't not cuss. And she was like, just do it for 30 minutes. And I'm like, all right, I'll try. So I'm like, right at the 30 minute mark, I was like, oh yeah, fuck. So that way I could say, like, all right, yeah, I did 30 minutes for you, completely clean. Although I did talk for 30 minutes about how life's not as bad for us as it is for people in Bangladesh because they get eaten by tigers. But, you know, that's not the point.
Do you have any tales from the circuit that you're willing to share? Meaning, has there been an instance or a show that was more memorable than others for you?
I mean, they're all... There's a place in Mansfield, Ohio that is always super fucking interesting. I mean, a lot of comics don't like the venue and all that other kind of stuff, but I fucking love how shitty it is. I mean, I think it's fun.
So you enjoy
it's a complete fucking dive, but man, it's a good... Well, I mean, it's you never know what the fuck to expect.
Right.
You really don't. The first time... No, second time I did a show there... there was like a guy that was dragged into the bar to drink. I've seen people dragged out of bars. This guy was dragged into the bar because he was so fucking old he couldn't walk. He had a cane, wasn't using it. He was just sitting at the bar whole night, getting fucking lit. Like, Jesus.
And here I was thinking that, no, Tommy, you're getting out of the house, you're having some fun, you're having a few drinks, you're not sitting at home, you're, get inside. And that's the image when you said somebody's getting dragged in, somebody, you know, kind of like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory. No, you're having fun, you're sitting in this dive right now, you're going to listen to a couple of comedians, you're going to have a couple of beers, and you're going to have a good time. Get in here. Now.
No, sure. No, it wasn't that. I wish it was something that innocent. It was definitely not that innocent. But whatever, you know. Everybody gets to live their own life. You know, who the fuck am I? That was also, I think, the same night that we got done with the show. I don't think anybody else had showed up. It was supposed to be like an open competition, I think. Yeah, it was. It was an open competition. So all the comics who showed up went. And the guy that was hosting, who's a pretty good friend of mine, was like, hey, you other fuckers want to try and come up and win this shit? And but you don't really say that in a shithole dive bar unless... You're just hoping for a good story. And, oh, we got one. This dude sat there for probably 10 minutes, I think, singing about period blood. That was pretty great. Old period blood song. Yeah.
It's one of those things that I want to know, but like, I don't.
Yeah, no, you do. It's so, babe, yeah. It was awesome, man. He was like, "Yeah, I can tell jokes. I got all kinds of stuff." He's like, "God, I do musical songs and blah blah blah." And so my dude was like, "All right, cool. Well, here you go, man. You got 10 minutes." And he goes, "All right. Period blood. Period blood. Get it all over your period blood." You know, and he basically just did that for 10 minutes. He would walk up to people and, like, sing a period blood piece to them. There was another comic there named Mary, who she's like this. She was horrified, just absolutely horrified. So he walked over and sat in her lap. It wasn't really funny for most of the other people, I don't think, but we were dying laughing because it was just so awful. And it was beautiful. It was everything that you know you hope for these dive bar shows to be. It was
something
great.
Something unexpected, something out of the blue that you're like, "Dude, when I was in Idaho, you're not going to believe what happened at this dive bar I was performing at." And if other folks that were with you were like, "What do you mean?" All I'm going to say is, "Period blood." And your friends are dying laughing and everybody's just going like, "Wait, what?" But it's that whole funny aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we remind her about it every time I see her. It's just kind of the running joke. You say, "Hey, period blood, what's up?"
How well does she take it, though?
Fucking great. She's dope. A wonderful comic, man. She's super fucking funny. I mean, she's not afraid to talk about anything. She's a fucking kick-ass comic, man. So, I mean, she was horrified because some drunk redneck was singing about period blood to her. I get why she was horrified. I mean, it's a little awkward, you know? It's not like he's a comic.
Right.
He was just some dude. And his idea for his piece was about period blood. And I mean, you know, I mean, if that's where your mind goes, I got period blood jokes. But... you know, it was certainly not the first material I came up with.
Right.
And something tells me, due to the level of inebriation, that was probably the first thing that popped into his mind. I wonder if his wife was ragging and he was just sitting there like, "Man, I'm going to have to go home and swim in some fucking blood clots. God damn it."
I want to say, there's also the aspect of how much you want to bet that
really do.
He did it on a bet, but he needed to be drunk in order to do it as well, in a way. Like, I bet you can't sing something about period blood.
Nah.
No? Okay. I wasn't there. I had to ask.
No, he was a local guy, so... He was apparently hung out at the bar and drank large amounts quite often. I think I've seen him 2 or 3 more times since then up there. Because I've done shows there since. I was there on New Year's Eve hosting a death metal show. Yep. That was great. But, you know, that's just a part of it, man. It's all an experience. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you... The real effort is finding reasons to enjoy that shit, because it's really fucking bad, you know? It's just horrible. You're like, "Oh, God, I gotta get in the car and drive home after this. Just me in the car for fucking..." That place is like 2 hours away from my house, so it's like every time I go there, and, you know, I'm driving there for 2 hours, like, "Fuck yeah, this is gonna be great." And then I'm driving home for 2 hours like, "What the fuck was that?" how long is it going to take me to process this shit? But I keep going back. I keep going back.
Have you, just a general question, have you seen folks that are either on tours or that you've worked with or are, when you've done a gig, like, wait a minute, he's still doing comedy? I thought he might have quit years ago, in a way.
Do I know any people like that?
Or have you seen folks at a gig or at a club or something like that that you might have thought, you know, left the business long ago? The reason why I ask is because I'm coming back with memories of, like, when they did the whole House of Comedy or Best Comedian. It was like one of these reality show with comedians many years ago, and one of the guys that was doing the audition process or lead up, he was like, wait a minute, he's still doing comedy? Last time I saw him, it was like 1995 on like VH1 stand up, and it was like, wow, I thought he wouldn't be still doing comedy now. That sort of thing.
No, there's not. Not really. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't really have a large group of comedy friends. So, and it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if somebody just stops, you stop seeing somebody, you just stop seeing them. Just like, all right, whatever. I don't think any of us really care about it that much.
No, it's just that I pulled up Facebook for a brief second. I was like, and just seeing the news that Steve shared, I was like, wow. I didn't really see it real quick. And when I was looking at it, I was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind having her on the show. Nothing against you, Matt. Just like, then I had to actually read the article. And I was like, no, that's sad to hear. Nothing against you, Matt. Cool. Kind of, go ahead.
None.
Tell me a little bit about your podcast, though, Bino Rhino. What's the premise behind it? I know you said it drops 3 times a week, but what's the premise behind Albino Rhino?
I mean, there's not really one. Oh. It's why it's called an adventure. I mean, I just talk to people, man. Usually for anywhere 30 minutes to an hour in general. There is a longer form one that we started that gets released most Mondays. It's called Last Weekend from the Savannah because, you know, rhinos live on the Savannah. And it's our little studio here. But that's the generally in-house people, you know what I mean? In-house guests, which with coronavirus is fun. So, you know, whatever. We don't really care. We're plugging along trying to make content for people. I talk to a lot of fucking comedians, some normal people, some stars. It's the biggest thing for me, man, is especially as a comic, is I want people to remember that we're all fucking people. We pretty much talk to anybody else and be civil and talk about pretty much anything and still be civil. You know what I'm saying? There's the ability to communicate amongst people in this country seems to have gotten a little fucked. So, you know. Put out 85 episodes last year. This year I'm hoping to put out at least 150. Just fucking pound it in people's face. I mean, Joe Rogan talks to people for 3 hours. Now, granted, right, he talks to some like super, super fucking interesting people.
But I don't get on this level.
Yeah, I would love to talk to some of those people. But you know what, man? Like, I enjoy talking to fucking regular-ass people, too. I think so far one of the favorite guests I've ever had was this dude. named Ludovic Voyer. He's French. He lives in Paris in a van with two birds. He's got a sailboat. And he's like this financial trader. That's all he does is just, you know, handle people's financial portfolios. And travel around Paris and France in his fucking van and shit. Like, when we were recording our episode, he was using the Wi-Fi from a cemetery in Paris. So it's like that, just the ability to fucking do stuff like that. I enjoy the shit out of it, man. And I'm curious as fuck, you know, about other people and what they do.
Yeah, why. I'm listening to what you, Matt, I'm listening to what you're saying, but my brain is trying to comprehend a cemetery having Wi-Fi.
Yo, in Europe, they do shit different, I guess, man. I mean, who the fuck knows? Hey, you may not have cell service, but I guess if you get buried alive and you happen to have your phone or your Apple Watch or something, you could, you know, connect to Wi-Fi maybe. I don't fucking – yeah, it's weird. But, you know, apparently it's a thing. They have free Wi-Fi pretty much everywhere in most of the major cities in Europe, apparently. So it's like, it's not so much that it was a cemetery. It's like, there's no one really to kick him out of the cemetery. You know what I mean? Whereas if he's like parked on the side of the road, a cop could walk up to him and be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I'm just using the Wi-Fi.
Right.
Yeah, no. Just to go. I don't know. He was an interesting guy, you know.
But still, there's a joke in that right now. I can almost see I know it's probably an easy joke, seeing, like, coming up with a joke in regards to, yeah, all the ghosts in the cemetery looking at the new ghosts. What are these new ghosts doing with these strange devices that they're carrying around? Wi-Fi, boomer.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised, you know, it probably helps all the dead people vote in Europe, I guess, you know. I mean, we have to give our dead people mail-in ballots. They just, you know, probably log in on their phone or something.
See, there you go. Yeah. Better joke than I do. But
it's fucking sad that that's so real. But whatever.
Yeah. Anywho, considering it, we were on for about 40 minutes, I don't want to cut you short or anything like that. You have been a great guest, but do you mind cutting things short and tying things up?
That's cool, man. I gotta get ready for work, so.
I gotta go rest for work, so. So therefore, is there anything that you wish to or able to promote for right now, other than Albino Rhino? Or if it's only Albino Rhino, I can understand that.
Well, I mean, everything I do that is ready for the public gets posted to www.albinorhino.me. That's where the podcast is, tour dates, and any of the other fucking crap that I'm working on gets done, gets all linked to there. I mean, there's YouTube, Facebook, all kinds of shit. Something that seems to have confused people, the podcast was originally audio and video, and I decided I don't like doing video, so I quit. And that's why the YouTube only has like 50 some of the podcast episodes on it. It's probably better that I think they would end up shutting down my channel, so it's mostly going to be stand up. And unfortunately, it's been open mic sets where I work at mostly, because, well, that's really all I've been doing lately.
And when this, Matt, when this, just to let you know, and folks at home, when we post this episode up, I will provide links to at least your website in the show description. So for the folks at home, you're more than welcome to check out his website and check out the links that he has there to his YouTube channel, Facebook, and everything else. And Matt, I'll let you know when this episode is posted.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
And thank you for being on so much, Matt.
Yeah, no problem.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the conversation we had with Matt Gwynn the best you could. I know there seemed to be audio issues with that.
A lot of it stems from me trying to boost the audio, like I was trying to say at the start of the show. The issue stems from the bridge that we have to use virtually to record into Audacity from Skype. And what happened, that this software is so finicky and so touchy, is it's, and Skype being, well, freaking Skype for the, for a lot of times. Right now, Audacity is recording my, I could have everything set up on dang near mute, and it sounds like I'm shouting. And on with the software I use to record through Skype, I could be literally shouting into the mic, and it would be a whisper. And if I make any sort of adjustments, like if you could hear the fans, the heater slightly, it'd be sounding like you're at a Metallica concert or a Slipknot concert. But I mean front row near the speaker in regards to the loudness, meaning as whereas you could barely, most instances you could barely hear me touch my shirt or scratch my shirt or scratch my head. On Skype, I adjusted 0.01. I mean a hair in the software. You go from me not hearing me scratch my head or adjust my shirt to hearing it like the mic is right on top of my shirt or right near my head, where my hand is scratching my head. It's that bad. And there are times like in this episode where both me and Matt are coming in crystal clear, and all of a sudden there is this static. When I recorded with Matt, I wasn't having heating issues at the time. And nothing was running, nothing was on, there was no additional sound, but there was this background static. I don't know where the background static was coming from. You could barely hear me and Matt. But I didn't want to scrap the episode with Matt. He's shared a lot of interesting things, and so therefore I didn't want to cut it out and have you guys wonder, you know, you guys started to talk about this and all of a sudden it was gone. This way you get the whole aspect and the whole context of the episode. It still was a wonderful conversation. I enjoyed talking to Matt. I know it didn't seem that way in the show, but still, that's beside the point. Next week, I have to go through the audio file. We have Liz Priestley on the show next week. It was a wonderful conversation, almost on par that we had with Tim. I have to go through with it. I'll get into that when that episode drops. We have a total over the next week to 2 weeks. We have more interviews coming up. Four, if you want to include, I should say, three interviews that we're going to be recording. A total of four more episodes. That's including Liz's episode next week. To drop, so we have a whole four more episodes almost ready, willing, and able to be delivered to you. So stay tuned for all that. So therefore, let's get into the usual rhetoric at the end of the show, which means that, again, if you have any questions, comments, smart remarks, you could always email the show at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on the pinned post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. While you're at our Facebook page, you can also send us a message, speaking of which, there are a few, there's a message that we got attached. If, depending on when you hear this, we're recording this Saturday, I should say Sunday into Monday. There is a link that we got to post up from a former guest that we got to share with all of you. That we, again, we got to post up to our Facebook timeline. So, while you're out there, hit that like button or follow button, whatever they want to change it to. Let's see. We also have, if you want to contact us, we have a Twitter page. You can always tweet at us, send us a direct message, what have you. It is Long Coat Mafia. If you want, you can follow us also on and send us a message via Instagram. Our Instagram handle is also Long Coat Mafia. There you can see photos of sometimes there the Instagram is the first place we share photos to, and where Facebook is the second place that gets our photos. So follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is also Long Coat Mafia. Let's see what else. Let's see. What else? We occasionally post on TikTok. I think our TikTok handle is LCM Pod. Let's see what else. We do have a YouTube channel. We do post up videos. There's a few videos that I want to record and post up to YouTube. We've been putting a lot of YouTube exclusive videos on YouTube because we enjoy doing the long form format. Therefore, you have to search for The Long Coat Mafia on, The Long Coat Mafia podcast on YouTube. With our first and only channel that pops up with that title. And yes, all you haters out there, I did do searches on YouTube on computers that do not save any settings whatsoever. Meaning, I go to the library where everything is pretty much scrubbed clean in regards to search-wise. And therefore, I'm not, the Long Coat Mafia is not signed into the browser. I'm not personally signed into the browser. So therefore, when I go to YouTube, I'm not signed in when I do the search. So therefore, we're the first and only channel that comes up. So despite what you all may say, we're the only channel that comes up. And we're the only geek channel that comes up. We don't do conspiracy theories. We don't do hate. We do fun. We do interesting. I should say, though we might do a little bit of hate or social commentary, but it's not derogatory. It's not anything like that. The hate that we do is criticism at best. It's nothing beyond that. Like I said, social commentary. So while you're there, hit that subscribe button. If you like the videos that we put out, hit that like button, comment them, and it shows YouTube that you do not like the fact that they suppress us because of our name. And what else we put on YouTube, for those of you wondering, we do unboxings there. We do mail calls. When we get a lot of stuff from stores or something, we do a shopping thing. We do mail call and shopping. One thing we did, a big unboxing from Engage on that channel. So it was like a 30-minute video. That we did from Engage, that we got, we got this mystery box from Engage that we picked up. And we've done other stuff on the channel. We've done, like I said, unboxings. We've done walking floor tours of various conventions that we've been to. I think the most elaborate that we've done was from Baltimore Comic Con 2019. When the whole thing that we did was like 3 or 4 hours long. It was chopped up to like 5 or 6 videos at like between 30 to 40 minutes a piece, and they were stock full of interviews, people in essence promoting their wares and everything else. It's something to see. We more than welcome you to go to our YouTube channel, watch our videos, see what we've done in the past. Trips to Otacon, local shows like 4-State Comic Con, local events like the Great Catsby, Civil War type of historical event, with loads of guests talking about the Civil War and what happened and the interesting tales. We've done Paracon, you know, stuff that's part of everything. We've done panel previews and everything else is on our YouTube channel. We have over 200 videos there, plus some of our podcasts are still up on YouTube for you to listen to. And speaking of podcasts, before we go, speaking of that, we do have a Twitch channel. We have been streaming Call of Duty Cold War on there when we get a chance, and we've been using our new camera that we've got as a webcam with our Xbox One. That's right. We've been using it as a kind of a webcam, and we've been having fun, so you get to see my face as part of Twitch. And it's like our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/ I think the long coat Long Coat Mafia Pod or something like that. Either way, the links are in our show description, as always, all our social media links and all that. But that being said, we do have a main website where you can, everything is clickable. And let me get into the main website and get it out of the way. Our main website address is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And again, The Long Coat Mafia is all together. There's no underscores, no periods, no anything like that, or else I would have, no dashes, or else I would have said it. And the word the is part of the name. And again, our website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And while you're there, you can not only follow all our social media links, you can find out a little bit about each of our reoccurring hosts. I still have to kind of update it. I want to include Don as a kind of a regular host. Not so much a regular host, but he's been in on enough times that he deserves to be on our regular host list, a regular guest list. Plus, all our social media stuff links are there, including for YouTube, our TikTok, our Twitch, and everything else, our Facebook page. I think even our story is there as well. So there's everything, you know, the story of how we started is there. I think we have a few WordPress links there. It's got to be cleaned up and it's got to be updated. One of these days I'll actually sit down and update it and work on it. Probably I'll do it at the library because reasons. I feel more comfortable sometimes being more creative at the library than I do at home. That's beside the point. As per our show, back to the website, all 290 some odd episodes are available on the website. That's right. Website, all episodes going back to the beta episodes way back when. That's over 5.5 years ago. That's right, 5.5 years worth of content. Back in the day when we did creepypastas regularly, it was like almost every other month we did a creepypasta or two. We did SCP readings way back in the day. Check those out. See how much everything was just cringeworthy and just putting out content after content. Man, it's something to hear, something that, you know, everything else. I know it's for all of you out there, just to let you know, on the mobile side, you can still visit our website, see what we have to offer. But let me just let you all know this. If you want to download any one of those episodes on to your mobile device, you are going to need the Podbean app, which is available for both Android and iOS. It's free to sign up. It's free to download. Nothing to worry about. Again, you can subscribe to us, be a part of the show. You can leave comments, likes, and everything else. I don't think you can leave reviews, but still, you're able to at least comment on the shows. You're more than welcome to. And hit the likes. It tells Podbean to kind of promote us a little bit more in their little bit of an algorithm on their front page. So that's always a good thing to see. And as of late, our numbers have been kind of slowly getting back into place, and I'm happy to hear and see that. If you enjoy listening to us on the desktop side, again, our website, you're able to download, stream on the website. It's all there for you to enjoy. And plus, you don't have to, if you don't have net access at your house, you can always go to someplace with net access, like a local library. Bring a jump drive, download old episodes that you want, take them to your home computer, listen to them on your player of choice or what have you, and listen to us on the go. Have an archive. Share with your friends. And let them know to subscribe to us, because we're trying to improve, always improve. We got a lot of stuff out there for you. Join, you know, just don't join a fam. Join the mafia, man. And we're available, besides the website, we're available on iTunes. We are available on Stitcher Radio, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pandora, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, Pandora. That seems to be about the standard stuff. We're on, I think we're also can be found on like CastBox and stuff, some of the web podcast web crawler type of ordeals. But the main ones are out there, again, Stitcher, the Spotifys, and the, you know, the Pandoras and all that. We're a part of all that, so that's wonderful. Links are, again, to find all these are on our website, in our description on the website. Let's see, on the mobile side. Oh, by the way, we are available also on audible.com, which is a hoot. So there's always an option for you. I do let everybody know that please, if there's always an, even though there's always an outlet, there are delays, there's always issues, but you could always get us on our main website. Again, it is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. Bookmark it just in case your favorite outlet or favorite distributor decides to have a hiccup and a knee-jerk reaction. Speaking of which, let me tell you in regards to that, loads of other podcasts have received daily, weekly, monthly, yearly updates from iTunes/Apple Podcasts, or I should say updates from Apple nonetheless in regards to the podcast. Did we? Hell no! We find out through stuff through our Facebook groups. We haven't found out diddly squat from these Facebook groups. So therefore, we had to go through additional means to get news and hints and all that fun jazz. So therefore, bookmark our website just in case. But if you are listening to us on the go, which we are happy for all you listeners on the go, we are available on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible.com, as always, Google Podcasts. Yes, we are available on Google Podcasts. We haven't had any downloads off of Google Podcasts, but still, we're there. But speaking of all these fun stuff, you know, like Spotify and all that, if you listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or what have you, leave us a review on these outlets. It lets the algorithms on these outlets know that, hey, we're here too, you know. And give us a good rating in regards to it. I don't think we have had a bad rating yet. So that's beside the point. But still, we recommend the Podbean app just in case the major outlets have a hiccup. And Podbean app is always the first one to have us first, because as soon as we drop it, it goes to the Podbean app first, and it always takes maybe 15 minutes to an hour, sometimes 24 hours before one of the distributors actually gets the episode. Meaning, Apple Podcasts might post up or refresh the feed and show the episode 15 minutes after we post it up, and it shows up on the website. Whereas a place like Stitcher, it might take 24 hours, or Pandora might take 48 hours before it shows up. So that's the thing. It's also one of the reasons why we post on a Monday, so that way every distributor is able to get it. But that's beside the point. Let's continue. Finish this episode up. Like I said, we have Liz Priestley coming up next week. Wonderful conversation, and we have three more. I don't know the order that they're going to be dropped in regards to them, but we have three more recordings to be done next week, over the next week to 2 weeks. It's going to be a hell of a week, but still, it's a lot of stuff that we have to put out for all of you. More on that when they drop. So we have a good sense of a bunch of content for you over the next month, so stay tuned. It's been a great month right now. We're on a good swing, and hopefully over the next couple of months we'll get a whole mess more content. We'll have a couple more hostfuls out there for you. We'll try to do things through Skype and everything else, and who knows, we might do kind of an alternate type of ordeal. We might take some breaks this year. Heck, I'll decide that on when we do updates. So, until then, I'll see you all next week on next week's episode with Liz Priestley. If I don't, I'll probably see you all on Twitch or on YouTube or on Facebook. I am the Reverend Godfather, and I am out of here.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.